has been a Demon Hunter show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back! Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one and the only...
You know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
Yes, sir. I wasn't expecting that from you at all. Where did that come from?
What was that? The you know what I'm going to say? Is that...
Yeah.
Trying to toss it.
Mystifying. Okay. I was mystified.
Mystifying Oracle of Radio. Special thanks to our sponsors, Demon Hunter, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, 102.7 FM, The Hog, and the, well, I can't say new no more because we've had them, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out. ActionAudioApps.net. Yeah. And happy Labor Day. Yeah. Happy Labor Day, everybody. Yeah, it's tomorrow's Labor Day, so we're not on tomorrow, so we have to say Happy Labor Day to all the hard workers out there tomorrow. And we're two of them, Nathan.
Yes, we are. In fact, I rushed home from a hard day of work just to get here in time to be with you, buddy.
Once again, on a Sunday night, you race home. Was you on your motorcycle today? Good weather for it.
I should have been, but actually, I'm glad I wasn't, because just as I was heading home... We had a torrential rainstorm here in Connecticut.
Torrential, with the big words.
I try and confuse you whenever I can.
Torrential rainstorm. You gotta like that. You gotta like the words torrential and
to the Batmobile
stuff, you know?
Heh.
I don't know. Anyway, guys, Labor Day. You know we always do it on the show when a holiday comes up. Why? Why Labor Day? What is it?
Do you know what it is, Demon Hunter?
Do you know the history of it?
I used to say it's a day I get off work, but not anymore.
Yeah, when we had, real jobs, the holiday. Labor Day in the United States is a holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September. It's a celebration of the American labor movement, and it's dedicated to the social and economic achievements of workers. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of their country. So, hats off, guys.
Ooh.
We do make contributions, don't we?
I'm looking at that video of you and I online, man. Ooh.
What video is that?
The one of us at Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, yeah. We was going to talk about that, huh? We put it out. Everything's good, and everybody's happy about that. Take that off because it's slowing us down a little bit. Hey, look, I'll put that up, Demon Hunter. You brought up a good point. Guys, you might have noticed... Nathan and I not only do the best, radio show in the history of radio, but now, Demon Hunter, tell them about it. What are we doing now?
Now we're putting together some video clips just for you guys of us on our many, many, many every now and then adventures.
You know, we've done it for years, and we finally decided, well, let's just show people what we do. It's been people have been receiving it. Really well. They've liked it, especially that Sleepy Hollow, because that was a place that was dear to our heart, you know?
I remember going to Sleepy Hollow with Sean Burris, and he got off the plane, and he looked like he was about 5 years old waiting for Christmas for Santa Claus to show up.
Well, it's so weird. Yeah, we talked about it before. It's so weird in Sleepy Hollow because it's... You get there, guys. I flew into LaGuardia to meet Nathan. He comes and picks me up, and that's overwhelming, LaGuardia. I'm used to O'Hare and stuff like that, airport. That's pretty big. But you get to LaGuardia. Nathan picks me up in the Pimpmobile, and down the road we go, and all of a sudden you see buildings, the bridges, the old structures and stuff of Manhattan, New York area. And all of a sudden it becomes... just trees and hills and stuff you wouldn't expect to see, from people that haven't been to New York. And all of a sudden you find yourself on the Hudson River there, overlooking the small little towns. And I could hardly wait when you see the sign that says, "Welcome to Tarrytown, Sleepy Hollow."
Yes, it's not what you expect when you get off the plane in LaGuardia, is it, Sean?
It's not, man. We had such a ball, even though the whole town, we said, closes at like 4 p.m. Remember? Even in the clip.
All we wanted to do was go in the cemetery. We walk up. The gates are closed. Actually, we got chased out of the cemetery.
Right. But we still went to the cemetery.
Yeah. We pull in at, 3:55. We drive up looking for the tomb of Washington Irving. Yeah. And as we make a left turn, we see the sign. There's a guy in a truck chasing everybody out of the cemetery because it's almost 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and you were freaking out. You're like, oh my God, they're going to lock us in. Then we seen on the whole left side of the cemetery, there's no gate. There's no road.
Well, there was no gate. You could get in and out walking, but there was a gate that blocked cars.
Of course. And hey, the other clip that we put up that Nathan and I are trying to edit, brother, we are getting into a bind here. We're doing so many of these. But yeah, we try to get them up for you guys. Maybe in the future we should start like a G&D TV. Everybody else starts it, you know, with their own shows.
Yeah, why not? We'll have G&D TV. Everybody can log in.
We'll do it all the time. And then
Sean and I drinking beer.
Right. And they would just sit around when we don't have a place to go. But last week, we went to, special thanks to Scary Jerry. He helps Nathan and I when we go out to places, helps film. And, of course, he does some parts in our little shows. And he's a great guy. Scary Jerry. Everybody knows Scary Jerry. And he went out and helped us film Demon Hunter, you know, out at the Rhodes Hotel.
Yeah, I don't know who gave it that name, the Rhodes Hotel. It just sounds too much like Roach Hotel.
Roach Hotel. The Rhodes Hotel. You can find out
Rhodes
more about
Hotel.
Yeah. You guys can find out more about that at WWE.
Love the place, not a fan of the name.
Yeah, Rhodes. All roads lead to the Rhodes Hotel. www.rhodeshotel.com, guys. Not too hard to figure that out. It is a spooky haunted place. Nathan and I can't give you away the whole plot, but yeah, it was fun, man. I was running around that place. You were running. Everybody was running around that place just like the days of old. And Nathan and I and Scary Jerry looking for the, we can tell them one, Nate. We can tell them one, right?
You can tell them one. I was sitting there trying to look all distinguished and you were running around.
Crazy. I know. That's how we do it. But Atlanta, Indiana is where the place is. Yes, not Atlanta, Georgia. Got some questions on that. Did you and Nathan and Jerry go to Atlanta, Georgia? No. It was a place called Atlanta, Indiana. I think it's population 10. And yeah, talk about a town closing, man. It was closed at like 4 or 12 noon. I think. But in the video, you see a little train running through the, it's showing it right now, actually, running through the heart of Atlanta. And I guess it's like a new project in Indiana, Nate, where you can get on this train and it takes you around, like, I guess, like the old days. If you didn't want to take the horse and buggy, you could take the train. And it pulls through these towns. It's so cool. And the people get out and they take pictures of these little forgotten cities and towns in Indianapolis, in the state of Indiana. Then you back on the train and you go to the next, man. It's really cool.
It's like a whistle stop.
Yeah. And, I was telling you guys might see at the front of the video, Nathan and I and Jer put a hangman's noose there. And you'll find out more about that. They got a couple of spooks running around there. One of them is a very unhappy preacher that, of course, committed suicide, Demon Hunter, by hanging.
Hanging?
Yeah, hanging. You remember that.
He was hanged by the neck?
He was hung by the neck. And then... Of course, there's others, guys. But you'll find out that and much, much more when Nathan and I finish the edit. But, you know, we help a lot of these places out. Like Chris, special thanks to Chris Thompson, Gail Sanchez for letting us out there, guys. A lot of places invite us out. We come. We film these episodes. We take great pride in it because it does help these places because they need money, guys. Everybody needs money out there to keep the doors open to these great historical places. I mean, and the architecture
on this place. You know, it's funny, too, Sean, that you talk about the editing because you and I both know we've come to have a great respect when we go to the movies. We stick around and watch the credits for the editors because they deserve more respect than the people on screen half the time.
Well, the thing about all of us, we film, we direct. Then, once we do that hard stuff, we come home, sit down, and get ready for the, 7-8 days of editing. So
yeah, two days of filming, 12 days of editing.
Right, absolutely. Oh, and you guys might be wondering, Nathan was just telling me before the show, at the end of our Sleepy Hollow skit, you hear some whistling, some horse, hoofs, and you hear the, like a, Well, it's a frog. It's saying Ichabod. Ichabod. You guys might know from the Disney little special Sleepy Hollow. Nathan got it for me for my birthday one year.
Yes, I did.
Something I remember, and Nathan remembers from when we were kids. That's the sound you guys hear. And, of course, at the beginning, it's the classic reading clips of that from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Did you like that, Demon Hunter?
I did. I did. That was awesome.
I love the classical reading because, of course, that's where it comes from. But, man, I mean, what did that feel like to you when we were there at midnight with standing in front of that statue of, you know, Ichabod and the horseman?
You know, the funny thing is I was just thrilled to be there.
Me too.
And everybody who lives there obviously knows the Legend of Sleepy Hollow because that's what the town is named for. It actually wasn't named that, and they wrote the book. The book was written and they named the town after it.
Right.
And, but so the people that live there don't have the thrill.
No.
No. You know, it's when people live in New Orleans, they are thrilled that they live in New Orleans and they can tell you every story, every little thing that goes on there. People, you know, live in Savannah. They tell you why they live in Savannah and the history of Savannah. When we were in Sleepy Hollow, the people there didn't know as much as we knew about Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I know. It was.
We had to hunt down somebody who knew more than us.
Yeah, we did. And did we find anybody? I mean, on the streets?
We found that security guard.
Yeah, we talked to him for a while. He was a cool guy. And you know what? I was going through the edit, and I thought, you know what? We're not going to be able to give him thanks. We're just going to have to put the security guard. What was that place we went to?
It was the Sleepy Hollow Museum.
Yeah, yeah.
And folks, I wish we could show you his whole interview because it was fascinating. But a few times he said, I'm not allowed to say this, so cut this out.
Yeah, that's why we put him in the promotional clip but I might be able to put some in there.
Yeah, I mean, we can take clips here and there, I'm sure. We'll have to take a drive. I'll take a drive down there and find him.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're only – how far are you from there?
About 50 minutes.
Wow. I don't know how you don't go down there all the time. But, you know, remember when we were there? I mean, there's not a lot to do other than the old Dutch church and the legend.
Yeah. I mean, it's you would think, well, we did get there, like you said, when they were closing.
Yeah. That's
so I'm sure the museum has some fun stuff to check out. And
then the young waitress that took pictures of us flexing at the booth. Well, we had
at the Sleepy Hollow Diner and pizza place.
No, it was the Horseman, wasn't it? The Horseman
Diner and pizza.
Had great pizza. We had fish and pizza. We were starving to death. That was nasty, but we had nothing. But it was good food. I mean,
we were like, can we get the fish and chips and a large pie?
Yeah. I don't know, guys. G&D Films, that's Nathan and myself, and we're in the early stages. We've been filming these for a while, but we want to start showing you guys what we do on the haunted back roads a little bit more than just talk about it. So we're taking you with us, and Nathan and I, who knows, we might talk about a little section on our website to where you guys can go and check these out, or I don't know, Nate. What do you think in the future?
I think it's definitely something we should put out there for everybody to see.
That's what we need, more work. More work.
We don't do enough already.
No,
It's not like we spend 60 hours a week at our day jobs already.
Yeah, I know. Demon Hunter, without further ado...
Dun-dun-dun!
Shadow Nation, tonight's guest. Tonight's guest, Ricky Briganti. Ricky Briganti, host of Inside the Magic. It's a podcast that takes you inside and behind the scenes of America's greatest theme park, the Magic Kingdom itself. Disney World, Disneyland, what have you. He's done so much, guys. He actually has a haunted house coming up he's going to talk about. Huge Walking Dead fan, and he knows the ins and outs on everything to do Disney. Tonight, on your Mystifying Oracle Radio, Ricky Briganti.
That's right, Sean. I got to tell you, Sean was a little leery about doing a Disney episode, and since I'm a Disney fan addict, I was sitting there saying, you know, this is something we really got to do because
I wasn't
for so many people, this weekend is the end of their summer. Yeah. That's all they're thinking about. My summer's over. My summer's over. Folks, this is the beginning of the Halloween season.
Halloween, baby. Anyway, tonight's guest, Ricky Briganti, host of Inside the Magic Guys. Tonight, get ready. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, against having a Disney thing come on, I think.
No. But we were sitting there talking. And you were like, huh, Disney, huh? And I was like, dude, Disney. Not just Disney, though. He also covers Universal and all the theme parks down there in Florida. Yeah. But they all go haywire for Halloween.
Yes.
You know, and that's Labor Day for me, man. Labor Day is the start of the Halloween season.
Well, isn't that the first day of autumn starting?
No. First day of autumn, still 3 weeks away.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, what's Labor Day? It kicks off something this season, maybe the fall season.
Well, Labor Day is technically the end of summer. However, it's the unofficial end of summer because it's when all the kids go back to school.
Well, I wish somebody would tell the heat and humidity because I've been dying at work. It's killing me, dude. It feels like you guys have about the same humidity and seasonal changes as Indiana.
Yeah, it was about 80-something today, and it was humid.
Yeah,
it was really humid.
Well, we had the family over yesterday, as I'm sure, you know, 98% of Americans did. We had them over, and we were talking about brats and beer, and the kids were playing. Hey, special shout-out, Demon Hunter, because I told him I would, to my sons, Devin and Drake, while they're upstairs playing the Xbox One and doing something they're not supposed to, I'm sure. And their little cousins, Timmy and Noel, and, of course, my beautiful daughter, Addie Lynn Rose. I love you guys.
You know, they're probably up there listening to their dad on the radio.
Yeah, they said they were, but, you know, attention span of the kids, they're probably like, hey, let's not listen to your dad. Let's play NBA. I put a video out earlier today. They were doing Timmy, the little cousin, and my kids.
Timmy!
And then Drake and Devin, of course, are, you know, all three of them are basketball fanatics. And they were out on the trampoline with Noel and Sissy. I got to watch it because the boys get all crazy and don't let the girls bounce around, you know. So I put the basketball goal up next to the trampoline, and the kids were slam dunking and everything. And Noel walks up to the camera and says the butt, you know what word. And then Sissy follows because she's like Noelle's shadow. She followed suit by saying the butt word. And I, hey! And then I posted to Facebook before I knew it. So, uh-oh!
You know what that means, Mr. Burris.
What is it?
It means it's time for us to take our quick 2-second break so that all those folks over at 102.7 The Hog can listen to all those wonderful commercials. And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, Shadow Nation, welcome back to your Mystifying Oracle Radio, the one and only G&D show, where we were talking about bratty kids that we love them. Anyway, the kids have been having a fun weekend. No school tomorrow.
No school. Oh, that's right.
No school
tomorrow. It's the holiday.
Yeah.
It's weird to me to know that kids go back to school before Labor Day now.
That's true. Remember when? Yeah, we didn't when we were kids, did we?
We always went back the day after Labor Day.
Yeah, what's up with that? They're trying to take the kids' summers away.
I wish they would, man.
Yeah. Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
So honestly, I think, you know, 3 weeks is all the summer these kids need.
How can you have
Otherwise, they're out playing on my lawn. I got to be yelling, get off my lawn, kids. Yes. I look like I'm 80 years old.
Fart. Get off my lawn, you darn kids.
You whippersnappers, get off my lawn.
I don't know where kids would come from because you live out in the freaking, you know, fields of Connecticut up on like this hill. It's like the Haunted Mansion.
That's why they all come up here. They want to skateboard down my hill. And I'm like, no, you can't skateboard on my hill.
And you probably told them all that, you know, it's haunted up there.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. Well, I told you. I mean, everywhere I go is haunted, right? Because the house I grew up in, you know, yeah, it was haunted. But I moved away, and all of a sudden, there were all these legends about the house I grew up in.
Yeah. And now, what about the house you grew up in? Is it set empty now?
No, it's buried underground. They bulldozed it down.
Really? It's still.
Yeah, my childhood is gone.
Oh, my God.
I left all my He-Man figures and G.I. Joes behind, and They all got plowed under the earth.
Were you a He-Man or a G.I. Joe or a Star Wars kid?
You know what? I was actually more of a Star Wars kid.
Me too.
Definitely had – the Star Wars figures were my big deal. He-Man probably came into a far second there, and then was not really a G.I. Joe guy.
Yeah, you know, I never got into G.I. Joe. You know, I guess my cousins, they did.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, they were a little bit older than me. Thanks, Chuck. But, yeah, they were a little bit older than me, and I think it was an older kid thing because I was all about Masters of the Universe. He-Man!
Yes, He-Man.
That was a He-Man. Demon Hunter, you got some topics to talk about tonight.
I just thought we'd touch on a few things there, Sean, because you know we love talking about conspiracies.
We do.
What's more fun than a conspiracy?
Nothing.
Well, let's talk about then from the Newser came out with the top 11.
The Newser.
The Newser came out with the top 11 celebrity conspiracies.
Okay.
Let's start with the first one. This is an interesting one, folks, because Sean and I were trying to figure out who it's about, because neither of us know who the Kardashians are.
Well, we do, but we don't.
Well, we do, but we don't know who the individual Kardashians are.
We usually don't care enough to look into it.
I guess the first conspiracy is that O.J. Simpson, not Robert Kardashian, is Noel Kardashian's real dad.
Really? Was there a question?
I don't know, but I guess I'd wonder a little bit more if I knew who she was.
I think their dad had turned into a woman or something. He was having a change.
What?
I swear, I read something one time he was having a sex change. Yeah, it's going to happen.
I'm sure, man. Sure. Hey, how about this? And I happen to know this one's not true because I saw it on TV.
You see the sex change?
And anything I see on TV has to be true.
Yes.
Siblings, Michael and LaToya Jackson, are actually the same person.
Oh, no way.
You know, a lot of people wondered about that until she actually appeared on stage with him and they said, see, you know, all those rumors aren't true.
LaToya, yeah. How did they get that? How did they say
I don't know. I don't know. I remember that rumor from when I was a kid, and I used to sit there and say, maybe Janet, but LaToya?
Yeah, Janet Jackson. Now, is it Janet Jackson or LaToya that's the pop singer, or was?
Well, they're both singers, but yeah. Janet was from more of our era. She was big in the late 80s, early 90s.
She's not as talented as her brother. I mean, the only thing good she did was pop her boob out in the Super Bowl. Exactly.
Hey, how about this? Nicolas Cage is actually a vampire who's been alive since the 1800s.
I've seen these pictures that surfaced on the internet, and they actually showed some on a documentary, I think, online. And I think it was right about the same time as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Yeah, and they showed a guy that looked just like him from, you know, the old days, like a time traveler type thing, and he looked like a vampire.
Well, you know, it's interesting, but Nicolas Cage is the nephew of famous director.
Who is it?
And now I don't remember the name. Isn't that horrible?
Famous director.
We'll move on to the next one, and it will come back to me in the middle of the next bit.
Right
the next
in the middle.
Bit.
That's how we do it. Moving on.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon didn't actually write the award-winning script Good Will Hunting. That's the next one.
Really? Who wrote it?
They don't say. They just don't believe that they wrote it.
These are all conspiracies.
That's correct.
Okay. So we don't know for sure.
Well, I mean, if you actually wrote it, don't you think it would come out by now that somebody else actually wrote it?
I don't know. Yeah, you would think. Didn't they write Clerks, too? I know it was Kevin whatever, too, but... Didn't they assist with the... What's the deal with them? They go to film school together or something? Because wherever that Kevin... what's his face? You always see, you know, Jay and Silent Bob, and then somewhere...
They're all friends. They've been friends for years.
I wonder where they met. Film school.
I don't know where they met. That's a good question, Sean. We'll have to get into that. Coppola. Coppola. That's who Nick Cage's uncle is. Sorry about that.
Fred Coppola or whatever.
See, I knew it would come to me during the next bit. Britney Spears is secretly employed by George W. Bush administration, and her 2007 meltdown was perfectly timed to distract W's troubles.
They said something similar about that with Clinton when he was doing the whole Monica bang bang thing, and all of a sudden he said, "We're going to war. Or we're going to bomb somebody." Or
something. Yeah, well, I could understand we're going to war to take away the attention from the fact that I was a naughty boy, but.
No,
how do you pull off getting Britney Spears to work for you? I mean,
by putting out the money, I imagine. She was half nuts anyway, or full on nuts. Remember?
Really?
She shaved her head and went all crazy. You don't remember that? It's like half America knew that, or majority of them. They showed like a video of this girl crying. She went to her concert. She was like, "She canceled him." these kids kill me, man.
Next conspiracy, Sean, that is that Michael Jackson was chemically castrated either by an anti-acne drug in his that he took at age 12, or by a doctor later in life.
How do you be chemically
castrated? They do it. There used to actually be a technique used by certain courts, and they would actually consider if a person was guilty of rape or something like that. They'd have them chemically castrated, give them drugs that would permanently take away your ability to be manly in that
reproduce.
Sense. Yes. Yeah. Clint Eastwood is the illegitimate son of. Sorry about that. Clint Eastwood is the illegitimate son of screen legend Stan Laurel.
Oh.
I gotta watch you.
I didn't know that. I don't know who the screen legend guy is either, but hey, it's interesting.
Stan Laurel? You don't know who Stan Laurel is?
No, is Laurel and Hardy?
Laurel and Hardy, take off the cap and scratch the top of his head because, Hardy had just smacked him across the face or something. And he'd sit there going, meow, 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 meow.
This is some big conspiracies, man. I don't know if I can handle the truth. Get it? The truth out there? Hey, did you hear that one of my favorite actresses, I had a crush on her when I was a kid. Now I forget her name. The chick, Scully. Who played Scully? I forget her name now. Whatever. You got her action figure in your studio there.
How do you know what I have in my studio?
Because I slept in there, remember?
Oh, right.
I used the action figure.
Now I've got to wash all my action figures.
We'll just say Scully.
Princess Leia, God knows what you did to her.
I know. We'll just say Scully. She is coming out with a new horror action suspense novel. Dana Scully. Yeah. Yeah. The actress formerly known as Dana Scully. Yeah. Which is funny. You know, I was talking to the agent for David Duchovny. Of course, he played Mulder on the X-Files. You and I were talking to him. You remember this. And we were trying to talk to the agent.
Oh, Gillian Anderson.
Jilly Willy. Yeah. She's coming out with a new book on. So she's kind of getting back in there. And there's rumors, Demon Hunter. There is rumors surfacing, since we're talking about conspiracies, kind of conspiracy, that both herself and Duchovny are working on a new X-Files series or movie.
Well, after the last one, they have to do something, because that last one was horrible.
Yeah. Well, I liked it just because it's the X-Files, you know. What happened
there? Well, yeah, I mean, it was not what I expected. You know, it was great acting on their parts. I just didn't like the story.
The first one was good.
Oh, yeah.
First one was good.
Hey, how about this? Katie Holmes and Nicole Kidman were paid by the Church of Scientology to marry Tom Cruise.
Oh, that makes sense.
Another conspiracy there, huh?
Yeah.
The CIA killed Bob Marley via boots poisoned with a carcinogenic substance.
Really?
You think that? Bob Marley, not my idea of top on the CIA hit list.
Did you say they put it in these boots?
Yeah.
What, absorbed through the feet, I guess?
I guess.
Somebody told me he broke his toe or foot or something, and it got infected, and he died from that.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
That's what somebody told me. See, that would make sense if a foot injury.
Hey, Marissa Tomei.
Oh.
Here's the last conspiracy in the 11, Sean.
Oh.
Marissa Tomei won the Oscar for My Cousin Vinny only because President Jack Palance called the wrong name.
Really?
That's a conspiracy. That's a thought.
That's phony. They can't do that. I guess if you called the wrong name, you can't pay. Psych! I take it back. I don't know. That's too much. But that was another one I had a crush on when I was growing up.
Oh, yeah. Marissa Tomei?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I remember sitting in church thinking of her. When she was on Who's the Boss. Of course, it was fair game back then. You know, I was just...
Marissa Tomei?
No! I thought... Who was the girl that was in Who's the Boss? Oh, God. What was her name? She was
on Charmed later on.
Yeah, she's smoking hot now. Whatever. I forget her name. Guys, get in the chat room. Tell us. Tweet us. Facebook us. Tell her name. Chick to play in Who's the Boss. The young girl. So, now I forget her name.
She was on Charmed. She was Alyssa Milano.
Yes. Alyssa Milano. And the chick that played Punky Brewster. I had a...
I have no idea who that was.
That was Starlight Child or something like that. She had a hippie name. But smoking hot now. And... yeah, when I was young, Saturday morning cartoons was broken with that, and I loved it. Loved it. Hey, Demon Hunter.
Yes, sir.
We're at 7:32. We definitely want to leave some time like we have in the past for the news and stuff, but I got top 10 human sideshow freaks.
Top 10 human sideshow freaks. Okay, let's go for them.
We were talking last week about your love for sideshows and carnivals and stuff, so I thought this was cool. Okay, top 10 sideshow freaks. Joseph Merrick, the Elephant Man, of course.
Okay, I can see that.
He was born in 1862, developed a physical disorder that caused his limbs to grow extremely large. We all know that story. Said I'm not a monster.
Sad story.
It was sad. Merrick died at the age of 27 only from suffocation while he slept. That's terrible. The movie was and the next one, Juan Bautista dos Santos, the man with two peepees.
Okay.
Yeah. I wonder
how much do you have to pay to see that?
Well, now you just have to go to Puerto Rico and or San Juan. Yeah, no, where is that? Where everybody talks. Yeah, Puerto Rico, right? San Juan. I don't know. They have donkey shows and stuff. I don't know.
Sean. As a kid, you used to be able to go down to 42nd Street and see those peep shows.
See? You grew up in a dirty part of town. Number three, Myrtle Corbin, the four-legged lady. She was born.
Okay. I imagine she was a conjoined twin and just was born with four legs. Okay.
I don't know. It looks crazy. But she was born in Lincoln County, Tennessee in 1868. Born Diphthys, meaning that she had two separate pelvises side by side from the waist down. Extra legs were part of a twin, Demon Hunter.
Yup.
That did not split correctly. That'd be crazy. Boy, she could really kick some butt. You get that. That whole butt and everything.
Ghost Chaser in the chat room says that would be double danger.
What?
Oh, double dodger. Sorry.
What? Double dodger?
I think it was supposed to be danger. I don't know. Double danger.
Oh, with the feet and everything. I get it. Man, we got some. Who was that that said that?
That was Ghost Chaser. We've got Ghost Chaser, Nitro Jill, Celtic Cleric Tavern, all in the chat room. I'm saying hey as we speak.
Got the crazy crew in there tonight. What's up, guys? Thanks for the jokes, because mine are flopping tonight.
Hey, what are you going to do, Sean? It's your best talent there.
It is.
Say goodnight.
Okay, you ready? Good night, Papa. Here's our next. Mary Ann Beavan, the ugliest woman.
The ugliest woman.
That's what it said. That's a big claim. She was born in London, England in 1874. One of eight children. As a young woman, she worked as a nurse. In 1903, married a greengrocer named Thomas Beavan. Shortly after getting married, Mary Ann began exhibiting symptoms of acromyalgia, a form of progressive giantism that caused abnormal growth and distortion of her facial features. She just looked more like a man, like a big, chin and stuff.
Well, that was caused by the disease.
Here's number
six. This is why so many people wanted to outlaw freak shows, because they said it was cruel to people to put them in that situation. And then the people who worked in the freak shows said, great, are you going to hire me?
Right. They were like, what are you doing, man? Hey, Martin Lorello, the human owl.
I never saw that one.
He came to America in his 20s. He appeared several times at Coney Island and worked also at Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey's sideshow.
When was this?
1880 or 1921.
That would be why I didn't see it.
Yeah, he also worked for Dick's Best Royal American Shows, and as late of 1945 was appearing on Ripley's shows along with Popeye Perry and Junior Stiles, 7-year-old Lobster Boy. I just watched the Crime Myrtle murder show about the Lobster Boy family.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess the father was a real hottie. He picked up all these hot circus chicks, but his claws, he used to beat him to death with his claws and stuff. He killed a bunch of people, and the courts let him go because they said that they weren't able to meet his needs as handicapped in the prisons at the time. You believe that?
Oh, you know, that's like the guy who tried to get out of going to prison because his doctor wrote him a note saying prison would be bad for him.
Right. Me too. I can't go to prison, guy. Let's see. Mimi Clawfulia, the bearded lady of Guineva. Madame Clawfulia was born Josephine in Switzerland. In Paris, she met her husband. She fashioned her beard in imitation of that of Napoleon. And she,
is that how that all started?
I guess. Napoleon wanted to be like her. I think that was a little bit. Wang, the human unicorn. You ever heard of this one?
That's an interesting name for a human unicorn.
Wang, the human 1930s Chinese farmer from Machuco was discovered by an expat Russian banker. The Russian was able to take a picture of the man. He sent the snapshot, of course, to Robert Ripley. And he had a 14-inch spire-like horn growing from the back of his head.
My goodness.
And all of a sudden it says Wang disappeared from the public eye in the early 1930s and was never heard from again. Wouldn't be too hard to spot him, you wouldn't think.
Well, he always had to be careful backing up.
Oh, man. It didn't say what he suffered from, though. What would cause a horn to grow from your head?
I don't know.
The lion-faced boy? Lionel. That was his name!
Lionel was the lion face boy.
Lionel.
You sure they didn't change that?
I don't know. Says on the internet. Must be true. Lionel. Has to be.
I saw it on TV. It's got to be real.
Yeah, he had a 6-inch long beard, but it was all over his face and covered his body, mostly too. Oh, here's one. Ella Harper, the camel girl. Huh?
Okay.
I am called the camel girl because my knees turn backward. I can walk best on my hands and feet, as you see me in the picture. And she definitely is walking on her hands and feet, but the only thing is, she basically, her knees look like they're gone, and she's just buckled.
So they weren't actually backwards, just kind of non-existent?
Yeah, it's like no knees. She could bend them all the way forward and walk on them like, you know, a dog or something. It was weird. That's crazy. They say they actually seen a living case recently in Verona, Italy, where a woman was kneeling on the road begging, but her legs were bent in front of her at the knee rather than behind. There you go, guys. Human Marvel's top 10 human sideshow freaks. You're not supposed to say freaks anymore, Demon Hunter.
You're not, but what would you say?
I don't know. You wouldn't say freaks.
Okay, if you say so. I won't say it.
Well, you're not supposed to. That's all I got there.
Well, that's like you said, Sean, it's a tough topic to talk about because you're not supposed to talk about it.
Yeah, you said huff. What are you supposed to say? Not freaks, special needs. They don't want to be called special needs either. So, I don't know. That's crazy. Demon Hunter, it's that time again for...
Yay.
In the news.
In the news.
It's always fresh. It's always exciting. Strange, weird, and people just love to do it. And it's the G&D news, and it starts right
now.
We're late. You must not heard your cue.
Well, I'm trying to figure out why we didn't hear the music kick on for us to go to break, Sean.
Oh, is it break time?
It's break time. That means for all of you listening over there at 102.7 The Hog, now is when we get to take a couple seconds here. It won't affect our listeners live, but the rest of you will be right back.
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your G&D show, where we just started today's In the News segment. Today's strange news from around the world. I got the first story there, Demon Hunter.
All right, Sean, let's just remind people that this is Ghostman and Demon Hunter in the news. That means it's weird news that Sean and I pull right out of the papers to read to you right now. We pick them by the titles, which means we haven't read them yet, which means we make a lot of mistakes. And every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's right, folks. It's the G&D drinking game. We'd like to remind those who are listening to us while driving in their car, either on podcast or, listening at 102.7 The Hog, that we don't recommend you play the G&D drinking game while you're driving. Also, if you have anything important to plan for later tonight that you might need all your senses, your wits, and everything else, please listen responsibly.
First news story up tonight comes out of our good friends at the Huffington Post. Doesn't come out of them. They actually wrote it. Huffington Post. Space City, Demon Hunter. UFOs look for an explanation, Houston says. They're looking for an explanation. When UFOs fly over Metropolitan area known as Space City, it's safe to assume explanations for the sightings also will fly. During an August 11th rainstorm in Houston, some odd lights were photographed above the city that's home to the Johnson Space Center, headquarters of NASA's Mission Control. Groups of aerial lights, drink guys, were seen maneuvering and changing their configurations in the sky, while others were photographed in a distinct circular pattern.
Very, very interesting. No other explanation for that, was there, Sean?
Well, let's see here. Let's read down further, because as you know, we don't read. While Perlia's video showed lights that changed position, you can look those up online, guys, in the sky, others posted photos online of a circular-shaped sequence of lights. The differing accounts complicated the analysis of the sighting. A part of the problem, Demon Hunter, is that once the first images and video of the circular object hit the web, additional videos of completely different lights in the sky were also submitted. They told Huffington Post, these submissions generate lots of confusion, and the news media combined them into one general sighting, which was an incorrect thing to do.
That's just wrong.
It says those random lights in the windshield seem to be blinking in and out of, perhaps slightly moving against each other. He said, my examination of those particular lights shows that these were likely distant lights, perhaps from a mall or other area with elevated lighting relative to the driver and reflected in the window. Blah, 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 blah. NASA has no official statement at this time.
Well, of course not. They couldn't possibly give us a statement on UFOs, because then they'd exist.
Do you think it was NASA, like, testing something?
They're always testing something, Sean. I'm a stronger believer in conspiracies than I am UFOs.
Stronger believer.
That's right. Hey, Sean, Union Square Oracle uses talents to help the homeless.
Yeah.
Oh. You remember Union Square, right?
Yeah.
When I took you to New York,
yes.
When you passed Union Square, here's one that you folks are going to be able to drink for. Right. Uvera Umbanjavi.
Umbanjavi.
Jani. Umbanjani. Banjana.
Yeah.
Sorry. Uvara Umbanjara is a self-proclaimed oracle who has set up shop in Union Square for the past 4 years. She sits by a fountain that she believes divides the homeless from the wealthy population of the square.
She stays there all the time?
I guess. Speaking to the Huffington Post on Tuesday, Umbanjana said she offers her spiritual counseling to the homeless.
Okay.
Like a modern-day Robin Hood, the Oracle charges those who can afford fortune-telling sessions and gives a portion of these earnings back to the homeless.
She's like the Buddha. She's like the Buddha.
Candy bar.
Well, I don't think the Buddha actually gives money away. It's a statue, Sean.
Well, that's true. Buddha didn't have any money, but he would have.
But, you know, I've been in Union Square. Nobody's ever offered to give me a free spiritual guidance, and I'm about as poor as they come.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't give you
one. I'm here for the gangbang.
You don't need it. You don't need spiritual
guidance. I do need it. How else are we going to find our way back into the eyes of the populace, Sean, and get our TV show on the air? And, well, I guess we can just try and pitch another story.
Or continue to do our awesome, awesome show.
That's true.
That's what we do. People around the world have seen the show and commented as... They've been heard as commenting as saying, oh, I tore that up, didn't I?
You did. You just ruined that one.
They've been heard as saying, worst show ever.
Oh.
Anyway, Demon Hunter, are you done with that story?
I'm done with that story. Go
second
ahead,
story in the news. Neighbor hellbent on shutting down kids' illegal lemonade stand. Did you hear this? You heard this shit.
I saw the title. I didn't get to read it yet, obviously.
Good friends of the Huffington Post says, when life gives you lemons, Demon Hunter, stay away from this guy. Doug Wilkie, 61, imagine that. Are you sure this isn't you, Mr. Grumpy?
Me? Never.
You kids and your lemonade. It's illegal. Doug Wiley, 61, is fighting to get the authorities to close down the unlicensed lemonade stand of his 12-year-old daughter. Oh, wait. Yeah, stand of his 12-year-old neighbor. TJ Guerrera, the Tampa Bay Times, reports that Wilkie, who lives in Dunnington, drink up, guys, Dunnington, Florida, has emailed City Hall at least four times pleading that they force Guerrera to close his business, according to the Times. You believe that? Sell lemonade? Regain my quiet home and neighborhood, wrote Wilkie, who said the stand is causing excessive traffic, trash, illegal parking, and noise. Are you serious right now?
How much traffic can a lemonade stand cause?
Are they backed up? Huh?
Oh my god!
I never got that much success from a lemonade stand.
I don't know what those kids are putting in that lemonade, but I gotta have more, man. I gotta have it now.
Oh wow. Records at the time say that Wilkie contacted City Hall twice and complained last year, then twice this year to complain, and stand was back again. The stand was back again. Deputy Wayne Gross of the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office investigated, finding that Guerrera had around 1,030 customers a day, and other neighbors... Wait a second. And other neighbors seem to be fine with the situation. Wilkie, however, says he's very worried about the value of my home, which is why I built in a residential area, not a business area. Wait a second. They're saying this lemonade stand has 1,030 customers a day. I'm serious. This is what the deputy at the Wayne Gross, Deputy Wayne Gross at the Pinellas County Sheriff says.
So are you quitting your job and opening a lemonade stand, Sean?
Jesus, yes, maybe. I got to look into that. Or at least invest, get some stock or something. I wonder if they offer stock in the lemonade stand. Wilkie,
stand goes public.
Yeah, fresh lemonade. Anyway, Wilkie, however, says he's very worried about the value of his home. The man's complaints may have backfired after news of the conflict came out. Hundreds of customers came to purchase lemonade and cookies. Oh, well, there it is. They didn't say cookies. They came forward to purchase it from little Guerrera, 12-year-old Guerrera. According to Fox 13, Guerrera made more than 602 hours, Demon Hunter.
Hours?
Yeah. Are you thinking about opening one now?
Hours?
Yeah. We'll just put it in the paper. G&D show! Starts lemonade stand.
Huh? Supporters. I need a new way to make some cash.
Supporters of the preteen.
Of course, I live in the middle of nowhere, so.
Yeah, we'd get like one person, maybe, who got lost. Supporters of the preteen included Dave Eggers, the mayor of Dunnington. I think it's a great show of entrepreneurship, Eggers told WPTV. This 12-year-old is setting a great example. I don't know what the other neighbor's problem is, but I would like to talk to him to try to figure it out. It's got a real bad picture of the guy. Looks like a real grumpy 61-year-old.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Kind of like I...
You imagine me?
Yeah, when you're 61.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah. Hey, Sean. Right. Police investigate after human skull is donated to Goodwill.
Oh, good grief.
I love Goodwill.
I know, but I guess you'd call this Goodwill skull hunting.
Ah!
Goodwill headhunters?
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, I like it. Perfect.
Anyway,
it should work for Huffington Post.
Who wants your skull? Who needs your skull? Not the Austin Goodwill, that's for sure. According to KVUE, police in Austin, Texas are investigating after someone tried to donate a human skull to the local Goodwill store.
Those darn kids!
An employee at the store found what looked like a real skull with... While sorting, you can have a drink, I guess, folks. I messed that up. While sorting the donations on July 16th, the Travis County Medical Examiner Office determined that the human remains are from an adult who may have died 2 years ago.
Maybe he donated his skull.
Maybe.
To the Goodwill.
To Goodwill. Sex and cause of death could not be determined. Police have not do not suspect foul play, but those they would have a drink, folks, still like to speak to whoever donated it. I'm sure they would. We think it was possibly something that belonged to a person who donated it, relative of the person who I messed that one up too, Sean.
Yes, you did.
We think it belonged to a person who belonged to the person who donated it, to a relative of the person who donated it, or some part of a collection of anatomical model, or something like that. Said Detective Derek Eisler, who with the APD's homicide unit. He said it could have belonged to a student at a medical, dentistry, or anthropological school.
Anthropological!
Yes, have a drink. Mm-hmm. A skull,
yes,
even a medical skull, is human remains and needs to be treated with respect. Kathy Taylor, a forensic anthropologist, that word's just going to kill me tonight, with the King County Medical Examiner's Office, told the Seattle Times after the Bellevue skulls were discovered. So you shouldn't throw them in the trash, you shouldn't take them home or collect them, and you definitely shouldn't give them to Goodwill. Anyone with information about the skull is asked to call the APD homicide unit at 215-974-5210.
You can't give that out on the air.
Sure I can.
Out of Pappy. You can't do it. Anyway, Demon Hunter. Is that
it? You can't stop me.
Is that it?
That's it.
You ever see those Goodwill commercials where it's the guy in the truck and he's so happy to work for Goodwill and he's talking about the little blue dress and stuff that you could find there?
Yeah.
Watch the next one. He'll come out with the skull. He'll say, hey, your little blue dress or your human skull, whatever your needs may be. Demon Hunter, it's that time again for...
It looks like we're going to run out of time and not be able to do our Legend X again.
We're at 7:54. When's the commercial coming up?
In about, say, less than a minute.
Oh, my God. We bounced it again.
We've got the same legend from 2 weeks ago, folks. You're just going to have to wait till we bring it to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, guys, you know what time it is when you hear that little music. It's the pause for the cause for the 102.7 FM, one of our sponsors. So if you guys are listening to us at 102.7, we'll be right back. You guys listen to us right now live. It's not going to affect you. Tonight's guest, Ricky Briganti, host of Inside the Magic. He's going to take you inside Disney's most famous places. Tonight's band, D3Z's, the song Remove Your Brain. Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation, we'll be right back.
Do I understand you correctly?
Mental load and zone, stocking musical trucks, deliver sounds to waves, sending echoes to caves, slaves to wishful thinking, all the while just sinking, linking words on lines, on the nerves like spines. Times may change, but the brains won't rearrange. We're bringing life to meaning of home on the range, although the word of the day is everything is okay, cause life's just a part that we're born to play. Come what may, this is where we gotta stay. Each one, teach one,
Come back here. This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show for nearly 10 years. InsideTheMagic.net has covered themed entertainment from the world of Disney and beyond. Based out of Orlando, Florida, Inside the Magic launched in 2005 with a tiny website and short podcast and has grown to the multimedia-driven experience it is today, with a primary focus on Disney and theme park news and information. Tonight's guest, help us welcome Shadow Nation to studio, creator and host, Ricky Brigante. Ricky, what's going on, brother?
It's a Sunday night and I'm feeling good and happy to be here.
Feeling great, baby. Happy early Labor Day, man.
Yeah, extra day off. Gotta love that.
Yes, it is. I actually had to take a vacation day because they don't let me off, Demon Hunter. What do you think about
that? Yeah, well, I work in the entertainment field, Sean, so when everybody else gets off work, that's when I have to work.
Yeah. I remember they tried to call me into work last week, and I told my kids, don't answer the phone, whatever you do, right around noon. So they called to junior me in, and my dad said not to answer the phone and hung up. That was great. Terrific. I didn't go to work, long story short, and I was okay. Anyway, Ricky, everybody wants to know, brother. They love the Magic Kingdom. I love the Magic Kingdom. Of course, you can't afford really to get in anymore if you have a family, but it's awesome, man. Tell us how you got involved with it.
Well, it started real simply. As you said, almost 10 years ago, there was this new thing called podcasting. And I was like, hey, that sounds fun. So I picked up a microphone I had lying around. I was like, yeah, I'll talk about Disney theme parks, that kind of stuff. And here we are almost 10 years later.
The Mickey Mouse Club. Did you grow up watching Mickey Mouse Club?
No, not so much. More like the Disney Afternoon, DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, all that kind of stuff.
We're not that.
See, my sad story in all this is I remember the Legend of Zorro on the afternoons on Sunday. But I didn't realize that it was just black and white because back then we only had a black and white TV. So I thought everything was black and white.
So today you would call that retro.
Yeah. Yes. Now those come out on special edition DVDs. Yeah.
What a retro guy.
Oh, but Ricky, it started with Inside the Magic. You are the epitome of what I like to consider the Disney fan.
Big word.
But it started with the Inside the Magic, and it went to a magazine.
Over the years, you know, we've had a sort of different projects that I've been working on. You know, it started real small, as I said, just a podcast, grew to a website. I was with a magazine for a little while, not doing that anymore, but the website's gotten even bigger and spawning off new sections of it. You know, lots of people contributing. It's amazing how the internet works like that. You know, one guy sitting in a room just kind of picking up a microphone can turn into this giant theme park thing.
Yeah. And it's made a few of your dreams come true too. I remember listening to your podcast a while back and you actually won and got to go work in the Haunted Mansion for a day.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. You know, it's one of those things that, sure, you can drop everything, move to Disneyland and you know, apply for a job and hope you get in there, but that requires life-changing decisions. And so a thing came along and it was just a Haunted Mansion butler for a weekend. It was like, perfect, I can do that, have some fun, and it was tremendous.
Now, you know, being the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, we hear a lot of stories like that the Haunted Mansion is actually haunted. Any inside tips on that?
You know, I didn't experience anything while I was there, though. While we were doing our lights on pre-morning walkthrough, they said, you know, don't be too alarmed if random animations start hissing at you and happening around you, because they like to do that sometimes just on their own.
Now, we had Dave Koenig on, and he is actually Jake Blues from the Blues Brothers act that they have out at Universal.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, do you know Dave?
Yes. I just saw him a few weeks ago out here at LeakyCon.
Oh, nice. I know he's into the big wizard stuff now, and I always see him promoting that. He actually has this new thing because he's a world renowned. I don't know if you knew this, man. He's world renowned magician. You know that?
I know now.
Is he?
Well,
wait a second.
He's actually the Koenig in his name comes from the. Did you ever see the movie Ed Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember the amazing Koenig, or the amazing, oh gosh, now the name's flying from me. Wasn't the Kreskin?
Yes, it was. The amazing
was it Kreskin? Yes. Who was the friend of Ed Wood in the movie and in real life. He is his great-grandson.
Yeah.
And he comes on to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show and makes our predictions for us every year.
The amazing Criswell.
Criswell, thank you.
Criswell, I was wrong again.
Yes.
Why ruin my record?
Kreskin, you know, I got that Johnny Carson thing in my head. What can I say? I also grew up watching him. That tells you how old I am.
Well, Dave told me Koenig's short for sex machine. That was untrue. It's Bolivian.
But you know, that's too. You don't just talk about Disney. You go deep into Universal as well.
Well, yeah, that's kind of where the things have evolved over the years. I mean, it started off just Disney, and that was good. But as the other theme parks are cranking out such incredible entertainment and even independent attractions, it felt silly to ignore those. I mean, I'm just as interested in anything that's sort of like a, you know, unique theme, take you out of reality, kind of put you in this crazy experience, whether it's, you know, for kids, for adults, or anything in between.
And, you know, we're rolling into the spooky season.
Yes.
When all the theme parks are about to turn over their whole look and turn into Halloween Town.
My favorite time of the year.
Now, give me a little tip on the difference between Disney's point of view of Halloween and Orlando's point of view of Halloween.
Well, and assuming you're even talking Disney specifically in the United States, because if you look at the overseas parks, Disney does some crazy cool stuff, like in Tokyo and Hong Kong, things that just wouldn't fly here in the U.S. So, you know, all the soccer moms hate that sort of thing where it's all, you know, scary. Yeah. But so in here, you know, in Walt Disney World in Orlando, it's the not so scary version of Halloween and Magic Kingdom. And there's a wonderful parade and fireworks and no scares to be found, just sort of celebrating the season. And, you know, hop up I-4 for about 20 minutes to Universal Orlando and you get the complete opposite of that, where you've got crazy cannibals and, you know, everything that could possibly want to attack and kill you.
You know, I always wondered, Ricky, about what goes on behind the scenes. I always wanted to go backstage and, like, eat a lunch with Cinderella or see Mickey Mouse take his head off. You know, what's that like backstage with the actors, you know?
It's pretty much what you imagine and then some. Yes, you could sit down with a sandwich of Cinderella while she's smoking a cigarette and her wig is in her hand. You know, that sort of thing.
You're like, hey, wait, that's a wig? Oh, man.
Sorry to, you know, pull back the curtain, break some magic for you. But, yeah, it's exactly what you think it is. It's actually quite amusing when you step backstage at any of the Disney parks, because you're, you know, you hear all the music and the pixie dust and the characters, and you take literally one step behind and it's like, bam, you know, gross office building, you know, concrete with stuff lying around, and, you know, it's just nothing at all. It looks like any old backstage area, or, you know, back behind a parking lot sort of thing.
I see Mickey Mouse smoking a cigar in the break room going, Jesus, they got me working on my day off again. You know?
Would not be unheard of.
One of the biggest like shockers for me was when Google Earth allowed you to see Disney World from above.
Mm-hmm.
And I logged in and I brought it up and I was like, look at all these warehouses.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you look at from the ground perspective and the wonderful forced perspective that they use and perfect decorations, they block all that stuff perfectly. And you've got this amazing, you know, the Haunted Mansion, for example, looks like this amazing old building. And then, yeah, you pull it up on Google Earth and you're like, oh, that's just this little tiny thing. And then there's this huge building behind it.
Yeah. Well, it's all about appearance. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, John.
I went ahead. I said it. I just said it's all about appearance on the front, you know.
Yes.
I remember last year, because zombies were in full force. Walking Dead being popular, World War Z having come out, zombies were a big deal at Universal.
Yes.
Last Halloween, Penn and Teller were coming by, stopping by and helping out with all the making them dead to decorations, and that was the focus last year. Any idea what the focus at Universal for Halloween this year is going to be?
That event has gone through so many changes in recent years. You know, a few years ago, dating back many years, they used to have an overall theme and like an icon character, and everything would tie together into this big story. And at some point in the last few years, they realized, you know what? Nobody cares. They just want to be scared. So now it's just like a series of stuff. Like, it's just, as they put it, it's Pandora's box has opened up, and there's just crazy stuff happening everywhere, and none of it has anything to do with each other. So yeah, they have revealed everything that's going to be there this year, and Walking Dead's going to be back in a bigger than ever haunted house, two times the size of anything they've ever done on a soundstage, which should be pretty awesome. Alien versus Predator is what I'm most looking forward to. It's the first time those properties have made it into an experience like this, certainly at Universal. You know, these iconic sci-fi horror franchises coming together and being all in your face and snarling and face hugging and all that.
Yeah. I can't wait till the, because we all know, guys, that Disney bought Marvel. And now I'm telling you, Disney's going to be a one world order. They're buying everybody, man.
Pretty much.
You're on the right side.
Rumors going around that, like, Disney wants to buy Warner Brothers and DC. I'm like, wow, that would be crazy.
Well, the big thing coming up, of course, Ricky, is that they have the Star Wars franchise now that they got from
Lucas. Yes, of course.
And everybody's showing, you know, pictures of Mark Hamill and Princess Leia out front. And I believe they even showed, I was watching an interview of Harrison on, you know, of course, Han Solo on The Tonight Show with David Letterman. And he was asking him, are you going to be in this? And he said, I told you I don't want to talk about Star Wars. And then, of course, Chewbacca was in the stands, and he started doing this whole skit about Chewbacca cheated on his, you know, his wife.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
Yeah. I did see that.
That was my wife, man.
Yeah. That was awesome. Why did you do it? But that's the talk. Do you know any of the inside scoops on, will any of these actors be back? How's Disney handling such a huge thing like the Star Wars franchise? And will there be any rides or anything like that? I'm sure there will at Universal. Or
Well, not at Universal, but at Disney World.
Disney, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, Disney is not really hands-on with the actual film part of things. They bought Lucasfilm for a reason. They're like, you know what, you guys do your thing. We just want to make the money and promote it and put it in our theme park. So, I mean, it's really J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy that are in charge of keep, you know, locking down the secrets and trying to only release stuff as they want to. So, yeah, the actors that you mentioned are going to going to be back, and they revealed a whole lot of cast members that'll be there. You know, we're going to see the Millennium Falcon's going to be in there, and we're going to have X-Wings, and it's going to feel Star Wars all the way through. As far as the theme parks go, they're still figuring that out. I mean, they haven't made any announcements. They haven't even really hinted at anything. There's something coming, and we're probably going to find that out next year.
Now, Ricky, I know, like myself, you know, you go out and you enjoy these things, and when you see something, you just have to have it. You know,
that's true. Unfortunately, true.
I've listened to your podcast too many times. I know that you go, and I made one of the biggest blunders of all time last week. I went out to a thrift store, and I was walking through the thrift store, and I walked past a full-body Darth Vader costume.
Oh.
Helmet, cape, the full chest piece, the leggings, everything's there, was there except the boots. This piece sells for about $800 brand new. They wanted $200 for it.
And it's in your house now?
And I said, I'll be back first thing tomorrow to get it. And it was gone.
Oh!
Of course it was.
And
the number one rule of buying stuff is buy it. Don't wait. If you want it, just get it.
But, you know, Disney owns this stuff now. And right. As you know, you go into any of the Disney parks, in the Disney stores, you can buy the Yoda backpack. So Yoda's on your back all the time and all of this. What has been the boom of the Star Wars in the Disney stores?
Well, this is what's weird about Star Wars is, I mean, they've been working together for many years now. So it's not like Star Wars merchandise is a new thing for Disney. They've had, you know, crossover, Mickey Mouse as a Jedi and all of that kind of stuff for many years. They've even, you know, Disney owns the Muppets. And so there's been Muppets Star Wars and Star Tours being in the parks. There's a lot of merchandise for that. And so really the only merchandise push right now is like Star Wars Rebels is coming out. Certainly there will be a ton of it once episode 7 is here. But, you know, for now it didn't really affect things too much because it was already there.
Right. Now, Ricky, I got to tell you, being on our show, we're the self-proclaimed official host of Halloween. I'm going to stick with that. Anyway, Halloween being our favorite season, okay, just like yours, what is your best memory? Because I remember seeing the Disney stuff explode every year around Halloween, and it let me know that that time was coming. What is your favorite Disney movie cartoon memory?
Related to Halloween?
Yeah, or, you know, just wide open.
Sure. Well, I mean, if we want to keep it with the spooky side of things, you know, here in my office where I'm sitting right now, I have multiple pieces of artwork and sculptures and stuff for the character of Chernabog, you know, the Night on Bald Mountain, Fantasia, big menacing winged creature. And that's kind of one of those things that is, I mean, that's from the 1940s. And you don't see that side of Disney too often. But when it comes out, it's always awesome.
Yeah. And I know a lot of these old Disney cartoons and things of that nature, like Pinocchio, Sleeping Beauty. When Disney originally started out, they took these fairy tales and they're kind of spooky. They're not, you know what I mean? I know the kids look at them, they're magical and everything, but they're based, like the tale of Pinocchio and everything, they're based on like a spooky background, you know?
There's some subtext in there.
Yeah, there is. Like, kids don't run away from home or, you know, whatever. Then that wolf stole Pinocchio. I don't remember the whole story. What was his dad's name? Potato? What was his dad's name?
Geppetto.
And the goldfish and everything. That always scared me. Pinocchio scared me. It's the most terrifying Disney movie I've ever seen. And then, of course,
Have you been on the Disneyland ride?
No, I haven't.
You go through there and you know they thrust you into Pleasure Island and trap you in a cage and turn you into a donkey and then Monstro eats you and you know.
Oh wow,
that can be scary.
That sounds like my typical Friday night.
There you go. You can go ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and end up in hell.
That's it. And yeah, I remember Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I got to tell you guys, and let's go around the circle here. Your favorite ride at Disney. I'm going to start out with. I remember when I was a kid, and it was. Thousand Leagues Under the Sea. Do you guys remember that?
20,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 20,000. I'm under pressure here. Microphone.
1,000 Leagues is the Six Flags version.
Yeah, they couldn't afford to go that extra 10. But I remember doing that, and you would go under, and it was, you know, the submarine, and you seen the octopus and the diver and stuff. So that really created the magic. Heck, I think that's been gone since at least 85, probably. But
it's been gone for a long time. That was steampunk before there was steampunk.
That was it, man. What is your favorite other than the Haunted Mansion?
Yes, Haunted Mansion's the obvious answer. You know, I love the Tower of Terror because I'm a big Twilight Zone fan. And that goes along with the whole spooky side of things as well. But for a complete opposite side of things, you know, various experiences around Epcot, kind of classic Epcot, were always what I was drawn to. You know, Spaceship Earth is still great, but some of the rides there that are no longer there were always my favorite, these long animatronic driven rides.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny because, as I've said on I've appeared on Ricky's podcast doing a bit called Inside, doing Living with Disney and talking about the fact that my wife is a Disney fanatic, and it's kind of sucked me into that as well. And it's interesting because I didn't have a favorite ride until I was in my 30s. Because that was when I first got to go to Disney. And I still think that Dinosaurs is my favorite ride at Disney.
Dinosaur is definitely a good one, except once you've been on Indiana Jones at Disneyland and you realize it's the exact same ride. Car, the same track, the same layout. Every time I ride Dinosaur, now I just think about Indiana Jones the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I haven't gotten out to Disneyland yet, but when I do... Hey, Ricky, this is our first break call, and we're going to have to take a quick 2-second break so that the folks over at 102.7 can fit in those wonderful commercials that they love so much. And as soon as we come back, we'll talk to Ricky some more about some of the other projects that he has going on now that are a bit outside the magic. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio, your G&D show, where we're talking to creator and host of Inside the Magic. It's a Disney podcast, Ricky Brigante. Ricky, what's going on, man?
Just talking about some spookier side of theme parks and whatnot. Good times.
Now, we've been covering, we kind of got off the spooky topic and just started talking about those things we love about Disney and Universal. I have to say, I miss the fact that Jaws isn't at Universal anymore. That was really upsetting to me.
We all miss it, but what replaced it is pretty darn awesome.
See, I haven't gotten there for that yet. So it's what replaced it?
The Diagon Alley, Harry Potter Wizarding World Part 2, and it's incredible.
I'll have to check it out. Do you take a little boat across to the other side? And
there are no boats involved, though there are some Jaws tributes in the area. Nowhere to look.
We were talking about that spooky side, the fact that Disney has their not so spooky side of Halloween here in the U.S. Overseas, it gets more intense. You go, you go down the road to Universal, and it's crazy because it's just designed to scare the pants off you.
It is.
Do any of the other theme parks get involved with Halloween? Busch Gardens, SeaWorld, any of those?
You know, to be honest, SeaWorld's Halloween is the scariest to me because it's aimed at like 2-year-olds and they have these like ish pumpkin things walking around. And it's totally unintentionally creepy. It's just like, you know, it's like when you watch, Yo Gabba Gabba or something. There's something just weird about it.
Yeah, I always still get a little freaked out when I see Teletubbies.
Exactly. It's that type of vibe. But no, on purpose, yes, Busch Gardens does a similar event to Universal. They have Hallow Scream, haunted houses and scare zones and creatures and all of that sort of thing.
So if you are a Halloween lover, you're not losing out by going to these parks in the month of October or even mid to late September.
No, there's lots to do throughout them, depending on the range of craziness you want to enjoy.
But you have some other projects going on, including, as I gave the, not so little hint before, outside the magic. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it's true. It's a subsection of Inside the Magic at OutsideTheMagic.com. And really, it spawned out of all of the really hardcore Disney family-friendly people this time of year seeing everything from like Halloween Horror Nights and going, no, I don't want to see that. So I had to find somewhere to put stuff that I enjoy and a lot of people do enjoy. But, you know, the people who like Tinkerbell and all of that don't necessarily want to see. So and then I've kind of run with that and gone with independent attractions, things that are really aimed at older audiences, but are still immersive and themed and really a lot of fun, just not necessarily for kids.
What's your favorite thing on Outside the Magic right now?
Oh, gosh. You know, with going into Halloween season, I'm really looking forward to taking in more independent haunted attractions than ever. Last year, I went to California and hopped around between a bunch and reported on those. And this year, I'm going to include also up in Pennsylvania, you know, a few haunts there. And I mean, this is my time of the year, and I want to cram in as much as possible in there.
You know, we had some guys, Ricky, from, have you seen the documentary? It's amazing. It was actually made for Chiller Network. The American Scream.
Yes. Yeah, I did see that.
Wasn't that amazing, man? Because I love watching it. It follows the tale of three different people, and they're all making these yard haunts, and it shows some amazing, you know, props and things that people go out on. What is your house like at Halloween? Are you planning on doing something like that?
Yeah, well, for the last, I don't know, however long I've lived in this house, I have been kind of one-upping it every year. But I've done a lot of sort of, you know, just go to Spirit Halloween, local Halloween Express or whatever, and just pick up store-bought stuff. But this year, I've actually partnered up with an artist, Cody Meacham, down in St. Petersburg, which is just outside Tampa. And I'm working on his home haunt that he's been really going full force into every year. It's called the Radley Haunted House. And this year we are sort of joining forces and making it, I would say, on a professional level, but it's not a pro haunt. It's still something at his house, but it's tremendous. The sets and the environment, and I've been working on special effects and lighting, and you know, we're gonna have actors and everything. So that's gonna be fantastic.
Sean, we've covered this before. The Home Haunters.
Yes, we have. We actually, from the American Scream, we had Victor Barreto on, and that was the guy that they followed up until he got laid off from his job or whatever happened. And he said, I'm taking out my retirement, and I'm putting it all towards a haunted house. Do you remember that part of the show?
I remember that strongly, Sean. How about, did you watch that, Ricky?
Yes, it's been a little while. I don't remember specifically, but I do remember seeing it.
And that's what happened, Ricky. At the very end of the show, the guy had lost his job, and he took a chance on it, man. And he had started, I forget what it's called, Ghoulie Manor last year there in the Massachusetts area. And I guess it's going pretty strong. But he went into, I mean, this guy, he's on my Facebook. He goes into deep depression when Halloween's gone, man, just like the rest of us. Do you feel something similar?
Yes, in November, November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, you know, once I've put everything away and it's, you know, the theme parks wind down their events and everything moves into Christmas mode, I'm like, oh, is it September yet?
Yeah, I know.
Now, Ricky, most of us who are those, like, addicted to Halloween people, each year find an excuse to start putting out our Halloween decorations a little bit earlier.
Yes.
But you... And I know this again from following you for so long. Wait until like the day before Halloween to put everything out for the public to see.
The morning of, actually.
The morning of Halloween.
I like to surprise the neighborhood. And every year I get the people sort of, you know, we'll run into somebody when I'm out, you know, checking the mail or whatever. And they're like, where are the decorations you're not doing this year? And I'm just like, yeah, just wait. And then, yeah, work all day on Halloween. And then, bam, there it is at my house for Halloween night. And then I pull it all in and I pass out from exhaustion.
You sleep through you sleep through Halloween night.
I sleep basically until Halloween the next year. So.
But so we've got Inside the Magic. We've got Outside the Magic. We've got the haunt. And how do you say it? The Ridley House?
It's the Radley Haunted House. The website, radleyhaunt.com.
Radleyhaunts.com. Because I actually looked up the Radley House, and I got, like, the Haunted House page. But it didn't give, it gave the Facebook page. So
yeah, all you have right now is a teaser because we had a great Kickstarter campaign, raised several thousand dollars. Thank you so much to everybody who contributed. You know, we're going to pump all that in right now. It's under construction. And actually, literally last night, I was down there and we spent about 3 hours shooting some teasers and updates. And all of that's going to trickle out in the coming weeks.
So we've got the Radley House, and you also own Lanyard Labs.
That's true. That has nothing to do with any of this, but I appreciate the plug. It's a my custom lanyard business.
So, folks, if you need lanyards, go to Lanyard Lab. It's but you know, you get behind the scenes where so many of us want to go. And what has focused you in such a way that you've been able to turn your life into your podcast and your other external activities?
Well, you know, I hate being idle. I feel like I always need to be doing something. And so just the more I do, the more comfortable I get with doing things. And I just want to keep adding more and more and more. And then, it's afforded me a lot of great opportunities, meet a lot of amazing people, get a lot of wonderful experiences. And I'm just going to keep doing it until I croak.
Absolutely. And I think having a chance to do your own haunt is basically you having your own theme park for a month out of the year.
It is. And that's, I felt like I've been covering this for so long. I want to get my hands on it and do it for real.
That's amazing. Ricky, where can people find out more about you on Facebook or websites, whatever?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I mean, Inside the Magic is definitely sort of the hub of everything. The main website is insidethemagic.net. And if for following us on social media, you just add /InsideTheMagic to Facebook, to YouTube, to Twitter. We're all over.
And quite the following, too, I must say.
Yeah, it's true. You know, we got several hundred thousand people paying attention to what I do, and I appreciate every single one of them.
And I was noticing last year when I was listening to The Ear in Review, you're spending a lot of time outside of Orlando now.
I've been doing a lot of traveling. Yes. A lot of frequent flyer miles.
So if people go to this website, they can find stuff out all over the country.
It's true. And when I'm not able to travel as well, which I do as much as I can, but I do have some reporters in California, up in New York, and I'm continuing to expand to wherever we need to reach out to.
Yeah. Oh, my, Ricky.
I tell you what, Ricky, after the show, we'll shoot you over the archive for your website, and maybe your several thousand listeners can join the Shadow Nation several thousand listeners, and we could just all be one happy family. What do you think?
I will be happy to point everybody your way.
Point!
The last thing I really want to get out here, Ricky, is we were talking, like I said, here we go on a recap again. We were talking about Inside the Magic, which went into the parks, which went into your other works. With the haunted house and with the upcoming Halloween editions of Inside the Magic, what do people have to look forward to? I mean, what are they going to see at the haunted house, and what could we expect from you coming up soon?
Oh, gosh. The Radley Haunted House is certainly going to be quite an experience for anybody who gets to come out in person and see it. It's going to be, like I said, sort of a professional level haunt at somebody's house, which should be very exciting. And we'll be sharing all of that online as well. But outside of that, I'll be hitting all the major theme parks and some independent attractions around Central Florida, kind of the ones we've already named, out in California. I haven't totally finalized my list yet, but I'm definitely going to hit Horror Nights out there at Universal Hollywood, and I think I'm going to do Queen Mary this year. There's a fantastic experience called Delusion that I want to cover. I did that last year. It's like the best Halloween thing on the planet. up in Pennsylvania, I'm going to go to Scare House and Terror Behind the Walls, and basically photos, videos, written reports, and podcasts, and all of that, covering all of it. So if you can't be there in person, it'll be the next best thing.
Well, Ricky, I think we've covered about it all.
The magic, we've covered it.
And would you hang on the line just for 1 second while Sean and I wrap up for the evening?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Folks, I got to say, as a Disney fan, married to a Disney fanatic, if you love theme parks, if you love Disney, if you love just what you've heard here tonight, go to InsideTheMagic.net, and I'll definitely be checking out OutsideTheMagic.com, and follow Ricky, because we love him. You love him, too. Well, Sean?
Let's cover that all again, Ricky. Thanks so much for coming on. Hey, Demon Hunter, you know what time it is?
It's time to pay those bills.
Here we go. Hey, guys, special thanks to tonight's guest, Ricky Bregani. Check him out at InsideTheMagic.net. Also, his new attraction, RadleyHaunts.com. Special thanks to tonight's band, D3Zs. Check them out at FreeMusicArchives.com. All special thanks to our listeners and our sponsors, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Creative Commons, and Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out. ActionAudioApps.net. Midnight Syndicate, thanks for the tunes. From the haunted backroads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon on it.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.